Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Want to take a look at verse number 12 here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 12. The Apostle Paul from Rome, writing to the church there at Philippi. And in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse number 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Apprehended by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this privilege, Lord, that we can assemble ourselves together with your house, your people, your church that you've placed here, Lord, and you've fitly joined us together. Help us, Father, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Father, that we might look to your word and see those things that you have in store for us. And Lord, that we'd hear you and believe you and trust you in them. Lord, serve you well and be a bright and shining light, a good witness of you and what you've done for us to those round about us. Lord, help us to stand in your truth and your way. And Lord, desire your word and your truth above all else. And Lord, help us to live for you. Be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Lord, we not be ashamed at his coming, but we might be happy to see him and ready to go with him. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, many that meet with us from time to time, Lord, as we meet together, Lord, we pray your blessing and help upon them. Lord, that even today, this morning, would be the time of their salvation. Lord, you take the word, you'd prick their hearts, Lord, and show them their great need. Lord, show them Jesus Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, grant them repentance and faith. They might trust in you and obey that command to come to you in repentance and faith. And Lord, you'd save them. Lord, we'd be careful to give you the praise for it and rejoice in it. We pray you'd bless and work. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Here in this book of Philippians, the apostle writing to the church there at Philippi, I want you to take a look over here to Acts chapter 16 real quick and understand where this church is, understand how it was that the gospel was carried to these people, and the Lord worked in them to save them. Here the apostle Paul was seeking, along with his troop and those with him, were seeking to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to go up into that northern region of Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey, if you will. He had not peace about it. In verse number 7 of chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 7, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we devoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part in Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." Philippi, there north of the Aegean Sea, which is east of Greece, right up there in that region called Macedonia, the Lord called them. It says in verse number 13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They went there and they witnessed to those folks. And from that, there was a number that was saved. A church was established there. And so back over in Philippians, we see the apostle writing to them from Rome, seeking to encourage them and to admonish them to serve the Lord. And we see here, as he's beginning to wrap up this letter in chapter 3, in verse number 1 of Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, keeping in mind this verse number 12, let's see how the apostle, the Lord, speaks to them here at this church. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And we need to rejoice. And he encourages them to rejoice. Listen, the world is going to change. And the world and the world system and governments and programs and plans and systems and organizations and people are going to fail us. There's always going to be disappointment in this life. But understand, the Lord never moves. Our great God in heaven never changes. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He establishes that line of truth. And what he has said, he binds himself with it and by it. He does so. He says, "My brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you for me indeed is not grievous. For me to rehearse these things to you again, to tell them to you again, it's good. It's not hard. I desire to do so, to admonish you, to encourage you. But for you it is safe. It's good for you to hear, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's how we learn. It's how we gain. It's how we retain the Word of God." He said it's safe. He says, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision," that cutting off. Those that do not want the Word of God, they cut off the Word of God. They don't want to hear what the Word of God says. They don't want to hear what God says. Beware of them. He's going to refer back to them here in a bit. Beware, look out. As the apostle writes to another church, he says, "Try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Try that new doctrine that comes your way. See if it is of the Lord." Because there's many false prophets that are out there. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, a cutting off that wants to go away from the Lord. For we are the circumcision, yet another cutting off, but that of the cutting off of sin. Understand it. A cutting off of the sin, as he talks in the other scripture, the apostle says that we are of those with faith in Jesus Christ and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those that are of the circumcision of the heart. The sin being cut off from us, a righteousness given unto us by the Lord. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. There it is, rejoicing again. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. And we went up to Missouri and was with Independence Baptist Church there in their Bible Institute. They have that every year. A whole week of preaching, four preachers in the morning and in the evening. Ain't they got fun? Yeah, they have a great time. It's a wonderful time. 10 o'clock, two preachers, and meet for lunch, and then 7 p.m. with supper before, and two preachers. They do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I used to do it on Saturday morning, but many need the time to be able to get home. And the brother Cecil Fayard, he preached about how in Revelation, the four alleluias that are going to be there amongst the throne of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. We are to be of those that rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Because I'm sorry to say, I'll let you down. You'll let yourself down. In and of ourselves, we are weak. We need power from someone, some place other than ourselves. We are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. In Philippians chapter 4, just across the page here in verse number 13, this needs to be our plea. This is our stand. In Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Brother Jim, I just can't do it. I just can't keep up this Christian walk. I just can't keep up sanctifying, setting myself apart more for the Lord. Listen, you can't do it in and of yourself. You need to pray to the Lord that He'd work in you to help you, because the power is from Him. Nothing that's ever been done by any of us that's been for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of the Lord, for the kingdom of heaven, it hasn't been done unless it's been through the power of the Lord. We need to understand that. But with the power of God, we can do everything that the Lord bid us do. We are of the circumcision. We are yet of another cutting off. But that which is cuts off sin and desires to turn away from sin, put away sin, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. The apostle says, I have got to brag. You think you've got something to brag about. I've got something to brag about. He said, before the Lord visited me, I was something else. Listen to what he says in verse number 4. It says, you think you've got power? You think you have ability? Listen to this. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the good part. The good part, obeying the law exactly on that day, circumcised in the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, believing a certain thing about what the law said. Concerning zeal, I went so far as to persecute the church of the living God. That's how much zeal I had. When others stood around and complained about him, I did something about it. I sought letters. I went to put them in jail. And I just didn't do it in Jerusalem. I traveled far and wide to go get them, to try to get them to recant, to try to get them to go back on that which they stood in. He said, I persecuted the church. As touching righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. When my peers looked at me, they thought I was a great, great guy. I was blameless. Nobody could lay anything to the charge of Paul because I kept it all. You know, in that, I remember what it is that Paul writes to the Romans. He says, let's turn over there, Romans chapter 7. Take a look at this. And you know, the Lord works on the inside. This thing of salvation, it's not a reformation from the outside in, is it? It's not getting a whitewash job and turning over a new leaf and making ourselves better so we'll be accepted. He said he was blameless in the law. As a Pharisee, no one could say, well, Paul, you kind of messed up on that one. Paul, you let that slide the other day. We saw it. We saw you do it. He was blameless. But yet, when the Word of God came to him, and kind of akin to what we saw the other night, Wednesday nights, and studying about the Passover, and then we took a look at that annual sacrifice for sin, and as it tells us in Hebrews, it didn't help the conscience. Because when the priest went in, he said, 359 days, I'll be back to do it again. Why do I have to keep doing it over and over and over? And it goes on to say there in Hebrews, it says, but Jesus Christ went in once, and it's done, and we are set free. Free. Free from sin. Free from all those things, because it's been atoned for completely. And he says here in chapter 7 of Romans, verse number 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust or desire, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He did and he did and he did on the outside. He spoke just right. He looked just right. He conducted himself just right. But when he looked at those Ten Commandments and he got to that last one, that one was inside, wasn't it? Because he said, I know that I have failed and that I have coveted. And I've often wondered about the Apostle Paul as he would go and he would persecute the church and railing on those of the saints of the Lord in his churches, and as he pursued them and tracked them down and hailing them, desiring to put them to death, to put them in prison, how they stood in what they believed about this one, Jesus Christ, and they said, no, I will not deny him. What was it that the Pharisees, what was it that the religious elite told the apostles there in the early part of the book of Acts? They said, don't preach in his name anymore. Don't seek to bring his blood upon us. And Paul would go and find them and say, go back on this one, Jesus Christ. As they said to the man that the Lord healed, give glory to God. And they would say, I do, by that man, the God man, Jesus Christ. And I wonder if as he saw that and saw the faithfulness of those saints, that he said within his heart, "Oh, I covet their faith. I wish my faith was like unto their faith." I don't know. But he said it condemned him. And he said, I hadn't seen lust except the law said, "Thou shalt not covet." But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. The law showed his sin. And even he could do good on the outside, on the inside, he knew he was a sinner. And he needed something outside of him for salvation. Back in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." If it was a plus for me, if it made Paul, it made Saul look good, it was a minus for Jesus Christ. It took away from the glory of Jesus Christ. It took away from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because in that I was trying to establish mine own righteousness. If it was a high recommendation for me, it was a negative for Jesus Christ. He says it was vain. "For what things were gained unto me, those I counted lost for Christ." Verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All of it is nothing. All that I could do was nothing." It's loss. It's that I give it up. I throw it away because I want the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 10, turn over here if you will, in Matthew 10. The Lord Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Paul says if it was all about me, it meant nothing for the Lord. It was nothing for the Lord. He was of those that the Lord speaks about over here in Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. He was of these. And listen to what the Lord says. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And the Father says, "Receive my Son. Believe my Son. Hear the words of my Son. Many will say to me in that day," verse 22, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." They're doing righteous, right things. But the Lord will profess, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Pursuing righteousness in the power of oneself rather than the power of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Works are that which show salvation, not to bring one to salvation. Works are that which show a change by Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "I was doing it my way. I was doing it a way that seemed right unto man. I was trying to keep it. But when I looked at it close and I looked at it all, I saw that I could not keep it at all. I was guilty." And all those things that were gained to me, back in Philippians chapter 3, but all those things in verse number 7 that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord." Knowing the Lord. And what did the Lord say over there in Matthew 7? "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know what? We need the Lord to know us. It's one thing for you to know the Lord. But does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? Does God Almighty know you? But has the Lord Jesus Christ saved you? Has the Lord God Almighty written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has the Lord made a promise to you of salvation? Are you seeking your own righteousness? Are you seeking that of the Lord? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, knowing Him and He knowing us. It says here, let's look over in Jeremiah chapter 9, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9, 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Not in our way, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. To glorify and to glory in knowing the Lord and understanding Him. You know what? You're not going to understand the Lord any better than you know Him in His book. How well do you know that book? We're not going to know the Lord any better than we see Him in His book. There's no other revelation. There's no other way to know the Lord. There's no other way to know what's important to the Lord. You can't get a monthly edition delivered to your house. You know God by how well you know Him in this book. I know the Lord by how well I know Him in this book. There's no other way. There's no other witness or testimony that is greater than in this book. In regards to this knowledge of Christ and knowing Him, look what it says in Galatians also. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Here it's speaking about how we walked and how we performed and went about life. And Galatians 4, verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which were by nature are no gods, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of Him, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And he goes on to speak to them about the things that they pursue. But he says here, known of God. Has the Lord visited you? Has the Lord visited you? Back in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things of my own, all things that I did, I count them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, to know Him, to walk with Him, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my King, my God, to know Him for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Well, that's a statement. To take everything that's a commendation and a plus, and that's of our own righteousness, and anything that we would claim or seek to hang on to or use or to justify ourselves or whatever, and to take that and count it as refuse in the barn lot, in the septic tank. That's how the knowledge of Christ compares to everything else. It's all about Jesus. Every single thing is about Jesus. Well, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? That is, that which is cast out into the draught is everything that we could lay our hands on or think of this world. That's how it compares to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Us knowing Him and Him knowing us. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I desire Christ, he says. I desire him. Colossians chapter 1, turn over here real quick. It tells us here how it is and what it's all about. Jesus is number one. Jesus is everything. In Colossians 1:18, and he, that is Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what that means? He's number one. And you as his children, you and I as his children, do we put him as number one in everything? Every single thing that we say, do, and think. Everything that we stand in, that we claim, that we hold to in our lives, in our families, in the church. Is Jesus number one? Is Jesus number one? He is to be preeminent. He is preeminent. To you that are here this morning and not saved, is he number one? He needs to be. There's no righteousness of your own or that you can seek to appease the wrath of God, to appease the righteous condemnation of God for sin committed by sinners. There's not. You need the God-man, Jesus Christ, to atone for you, to redeem for you, to pay for you that sin debt, and for him to make you his own. He says, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ, verse 9, back in Philippians 3, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That righteousness that is believing in him, that Jesus will save, that Jesus will take care of it, that Jesus will pay the debt. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God sent his Son to pay the debt for sinners. And that all that come unto him, he'll receive you and give you the power to become the sons of God. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? And you say, no, I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. You got a problem. I'm a sinner, but I'm afraid to come. You got a problem. I'm a sinner, but I don't want to admit it to everybody else that I'm a sinner. You got a problem. You need Jesus Christ. You need to repent. You need to trust in him. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, verse 9, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, faith in him, that I may know him, that he may know me, the power and the power of his resurrection, that new life in Christ, that new life, that being born again here and now in this time on this earth, and then looking forward to that complete salvation where he gives me that new body. And I'm able to rule and reign and live with him forever. Oh, to be known of God, to know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We must identify with the death of Jesus Christ. He died not for himself, but we that are saved, he died for you and me. And you that are unsaved, he died for sinners such as you. Did he die for you? Do you hear him? Do you hear his call? Do you hear him speak? Or do you put it away? The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, we die to self. We die to our righteousness. We die to our way. And we seek and pursue life anew in Christ, living with him. A lady was challenged at one time. She says, how do you know that Jesus is real? How do you know that Jesus is alive? She said, I tell you how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. How about you? How about you? Does he live within you? Do you desire him? Is he preeminent in all, being made conformable unto his death, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, a raised to new life in Christ, to have that immortal body where we don't have blown out shoulders anymore, we don't have high cholesterol anymore, we don't have blown out discs and hearts running at this, and the doctors don't even know what's wrong with us at times, all that'll be gone. And we'll be able to go to church services 24/7. What do you think about that? Be able to be with the Lord forever. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or complete, but listen, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus apprehended me one day there on Laclede Station Road in March of 1987. Jesus apprehended me. Did he apprehend you? Oh, everywhere I went, it didn't matter if it was a meeting in Illinois, there at Independence in churches and services, on the radio, whatever, open up the Bible. The Lord just pelted me and pelted me and pelted me about needing Jesus Christ. So you got to understand, I was a faker. I was a fine, upstanding Baptist faker. I would sing. I would try to teach. I would try to this. I'd try to witness, and I'd try to do all that. But you know what? I didn't have Jesus Christ. I didn't have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would pray, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. And then that day, the Lord apprehended me. And what's the apostle say there? He says, not as though I had already attained. He says, I'm looking forward to this resurrection. I'm looking forward to the end when this world is wrapped up. But in the meantime, I'm not perfect. I'm not complete yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus apprehended me, and he saved my soul, and now I'm looking and running after him, making him number one, making him have the preeminence, desiring a closer, closer, closer fellowship and walk with Jesus. Do you have a walk with Jesus? Brethren, verse 13, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, listen, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has apprehended me, and now that he has saved me, I'm pursuing him. And yes, I've messed up. And yes, things have been a blessing and good, but I forget all those things because from now I'm pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward, continually pressing forward. Because you know what? The Christian life is going to be lived in this minute. The past, it's a blessing. The past may be a shame. But you know what? The apostle says, I'm going to forget about all that, and I'm going to apprehend Christ now. From this point forward, I'm going to rejoice in him going forward. I'm going to pursue him going forward. I'm going to know more about him going forward. I'm going to be a better witness. I'm going to be a better church member. I'm going to be a better child of his. I'm going to learn more about his word. I'm going to pursue him and ask him to continue to touch me and change me. I'm going to put away the fruit of the world and the wickedness of the world, and I'm going to put on and pursue after the fruit of the Spirit and the righteousness of Christ. I want him. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended, verse 13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, and there is no higher calling than that of the Lord, a calling to salvation by your Creator and a calling to be in his church. There is no higher calling. There is not. This calling is attached with eternity. In eternity, it won't make a lick who was president. It won't. It won't make a lick who had the most money. It won't make a lick who was the greatest king. It won't make a lick about any of that. But what will mean something is, does the Lord know you? Do you know him and his church and his nation and his people? Because it's from such that the kingdom in that day will be set up. Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark, verse 14, of the prize of the high calling. There is a recompense of reward in this service for the Lord. We serve God because he is king. We pursue after him, and we believe him because he is God. It's not a barter system. Do you serve the Lord and do you pursue the Lord because he's going to do something for you? We serve him because he's worthy of praise and worship. He's worthy to be served. Just so happens there is a blessing in it. You see? It's not the way that the men and mankind works, and that it's tit for tat. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But God is to be praised. God is to be worshipped. His commands are to be heeded, period. But it turns out there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. I press for that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to be there with him. Heaven and the new heaven and the new earth is going to be great. Not because the streets are made of gold, not because there's many mansions, not because the singing is wonderful and there's always light and there's never night. It's not going to be wonderful because of that. It's going to be wonderful because Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Because our Lord and Savior, the Lamb, is there. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. Think that way about it. Put off the mind of the world. Put off that. Renew our minds. Yield our lives a living sacrifice unto him. And let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you don't get it, you don't hear it, you don't understand it. We pray and ask the Lord that it will be revealed, that you will be convinced that since you have been apprehended, you need to apprehend Christ. Pursue after him and put him first. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You see that mind, that thinking, it starts with the thinking. This life of service, what do you want? What is your desire? It's all tied in there together. Your soul has been saved. Your body and your mind is not. Therefore, we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And James tells us that the deeds of the flesh start with the thinking and the mind. And we fill up on trash. All we're going to think about and doing is trash. But we fill up on good things and right things, then we'll pursue that which is right. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Can you say that? Can you and I say that? Are you willing? Are you serving? Are you walking? Are you trying? Are you pursuing? Are you pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God such that you can say to others, follow me as I follow Christ? The Apostle Paul could. He wasn't perfect, but he had a desire to be such. Christ had the preeminence in his life. As being a joint heir with Christ, a child of God, a child of God Almighty, we as children are to be representative of him. When the world looks at us, they should see the Lord. They should see the power of the Lord in us. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. There's others that you can follow. Can I say this? Can you say this? Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping. It sorrows me that this is the case. It sorrows me, he says, that this is the case, They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Don't follow them. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly or what they want? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things, not the things of God, not pressing towards the mark, not following after Jesus and to know him and to know him more and to be closer to him. Don't follow them. Don't be one of them. But follow after Christ. For our conversation, verse 20, is in heaven. Our way of life is in heaven itself. We desire that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly minded. Heavenly minded. Desiring what the Lord wants and what the Lord says, that we be used of him to live. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Here's the promise: the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue. He's able to apprehend all things to himself. It's all about him. And he's going to bring it all to himself, whether it's his children or whether those that wait there in judgment, he is going to reconcile it all. Apprehended of Christ Jesus. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to be apprehended of the Lord. Apprehended of Jesus Christ, or taken captive by the devil. Which is it? Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, speaking about the servant of the Lord in verse number 24, 2 Timothy 2, 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to repent. You're a sinner, and that's the truth. You need a Savior, and that's the truth. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that's the truth. You need to receive it, believe it, acknowledge it for yourself. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Apprehended by Christ Jesus, or taken captive by the devil himself. How is it with you? To be lost and dead in sins is a precarious, precarious place. It's a precarious place indeed. And you need to turn to Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. We are captive in sin. Look over here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is. The prophecy of the Lord coming and being fulfilled at the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. And it tells us here in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast to prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen, this is us without Christ. This is you in need of salvation. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Apprehended of Christ Jesus, or taken captive by Satan. How is it with you? child of God, we that have been apprehended of the Lord, we need to yet apprehend Him. We need to pursue the Lord in everything. Pursue Him, live for Him, witness for Him. If need be, die for Him. May the Lord help us. Apprehended by Jesus Christ, apprehended by Him, or taken captive by Satan. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, we pray for you that you'll repent and believe the gospel.